You know, it's crazy to think it was 1 year ago that we started our Dr. Seuss series that was our first live streamed series that we really did. Crazy what a year it has been. But here we come full circle back to Dr. Seuss as I struggle to pass Earth Day and Earth Sunday and Earth Week and Earth Being without going to the Lorax that speaks so well of what we need to be doing. And so with that, as we seek to speak for the trees, will you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Have you ever had to speak for someone who couldn't speak for themselves? As I look back and think about the times that I've had to do that, most often it's been for my kids. Thinking back to Aiden in first grade. Aiden in first grade, he was up on the hill and he began the year with a long-term substitute. And obviously, younger elementary first grade was not really where her teaching calling was, and she had a really tough time with Aiden. Aiden's ADHD was showing. Aiden was very bright and advanced for first grade and finding himself pretty bored, but also delayed in his fine motor skills to be able to write and cut. And so it made for a really tough relationship. And here this teacher, the way that she was handling Aiden's struggles was not growth-giving or positive or helpful for Aiden. One example to quickly give, he struggled to finish work in part because it was hard for him to write. And we were working on it and trying to figure it out, but he just could not get assignments finished in the time that she gave him, between the fine motor skills and the attention issues and the boredom and everything else that he had. So she had this habit that at the end of the time for an assignment, she would come over with a red crayon and would draw a line across the paper of where Aiden failed to finish. Seeing this happening, I knew I had to step in. I tried to talk to the teacher, and the teacher said, "This is the way it is. There's nothing else that I will do. This is what I need to do as a teacher." So needing to advocate and speak for my son, I went to the principal and we sat down and the principal agreed that the behavior of the teacher was not appropriate, helpful, or positive for Aiden. And so we, with the principal and the teacher, came up with a plan that was better suited for Aiden, would be helpful for Aiden, and would make it so that Aiden didn't have a miserable year. In many of the same ways, when we moved here, Kylie joined a cheer team as she had been cheering before we moved here. And her coach was pretty tough. And again, I don't think she was used to dealing with 7 and 8 year olds. And Kylie wasn't enjoying cheer here nearly as much as she had been with her first gym. And one day after a competition, we were driving home and I was talking to her and I was asking why I wasn't seeing the smiles on her face that I was used to. And she told me, "Well, coach told me that if I didn't do well enough when we performed today, that she would kick me off the team." Kylie was 8. Kylie was trying her best, and I was broken-hearted. When I got home, I immediately put a call into that coach and gave her a little piece of my mind about how inappropriate that was for dealing with an 8-year-old. She informed me that most girls could take it, and obviously my daughter was soft. And at that point, Kylie was pulled from the cheerleading team by my decision and hers. There's times in life, whether it's our child, our parent, our friend, a coworker, a neighbor, that we see their inability to speak for themselves, in particular, kids to adults. And we step in and we become their voice to advocate for them. It's easy with human beings, but this morning as we begin this Speak for the series, we look at our creation and realize our creation is needing our voice and advocacy just as much as the people we love. Let's look at our scripture. Where does creation begin? It begins in this series of days, and on the third day, life burst forth in the form of trees and plants and that which was seed-bearing to be able to reproduce. Before humans came to life, God ensured that there was that which was there to provide for humans, to eat, to build, to be able to give us fresh and clean oxygen to breathe. God had it all planned out. But then we look at where did human beings begin this life? But in a garden, right? That garden was a place of perfection and provision. And when the first sin came about and our relationship with God was broken, we were kicked out of that garden. And ever since, we have sought to be back in that garden, that place of perfection and provision and peace that came about there. Well, there's no coincidence that the garden is also that which represents life and beauty, and is the place of Jesus's last breath of freedom. Take a look at the trees and the flowers for a minute. Look at the intricate details that God gave to them. Each flower, each tree, each type of grass and bush, all unique and different. Look at how they soak up the sun. Look at how they drink up the rain and sway in the wind. They're a natural beauty at its finest, aren't they? God created them. God in Scripture calls them good, and then placed us here with the command to care for them. A call, I have to say, that we have failed over and over again. I know I'm a failure at it. I have one of the brownest thumbs, though it's interesting that I can't keep anything alive, but I love planting things. Back in the fall, I built with my hands because I like making things myself. They're not as beautiful as the things that you would buy, but at least I made them. And I made, in the fall, three large raised beds along my back wall. And I said, I am going to plant in these and see what I can produce, as if miraculously I will be able to grow things all of a sudden. But in it, tomatoes and strawberries and lettuce and peppers and all sorts of fun stuff. Well, I planted them, and I let the sprinklers and the rain do its thing, and I got lettuce, and I got some tomatoes, and everything else just turned brown. So a couple months ago, I looked at those raised beds, and some weeds had started to grow, and some grass had gotten in it. And so I went out there, and with Captain's help, I plucked out all those weeds and all that grass and raked them, and they looked so beautiful, like a clean slate ready for something to grow. So a little over a week ago, off to Lowe's I went, probably not the best place to buy plants, but it's the place I know. And I picked out peppers and herbs, and I picked out tomatoes and berries and squash and all sorts of fun stuff. And off I went to plant them in. And then on Friday, Maddie and I went back to Lowe's, and we said, with all this that's good for what it produces, we need some beauty too. So Maddie and I went, we picked out a bunch of flowers. And last night, I have to say, I dug in the dirt. No gloves, no shoes. Into the dirt I went, fresh soil down. And I planted marigolds, and I planted something, I have no idea what its name is, and I planted some purple thing that Maddie picked out. See, I'm really good at this gardening thing. I even know all the names, purple thing. But I planted it all, and I watered it, and it looks so nice. Now, but see, here's the thing. I'm sitting there planting, and I'm looking it over, and a realization came to me. I think my failure is because I work so hard to plant and prep the soil and I do that day's work, but then I step back and rely on God and my sprinkler system to do the rest. At that point, I just become a witness of what's happening. I need to realize that planting and caring requires hands-on work and not just stepping back and waiting for magic to happen. In light of the creation around us, especially the plants and trees, we cannot rely on God and a system outside ourselves to care for it. We are not proactive. We are not proactively a part of the system that's caring for creation, speaking, advocating, and caring, then we are sadly a part of the system that is slowly destroying them from our use and abuse. Let's put in a little more light. A few years ago, the kids and I went on a road trip. And one of the places that we went was Sequoia National Park. Can you all immediately picture those giant redwood trees? Seeing these trees that are 70, 80, 100 years old and more. Huge, monstrous, gigantic, beautiful, amazing trees. But what's something when you stand in front of a group of trees that are 70, 80, 100 plus years old? You realize these trees were here before me, and these trees will be here after I'm gone. I have moved into their home. I am their guest on this earth. Now, what kind of a guest am I going to be? Psalm 24 tells us, "The earth is the Lord's and all that is in it." We are not the only creation that begins, that we are not the only creation that belongs to God. We are not the only creation loved by God, but the earth and everything in it is. We need the trees to live. We need the plants to live, but they also need us for their survival. And the earth, my friends, is truly in a crisis mode. And we are being called to stand up and use our voices and our actions to care for it. We must seek intentional work that gives back to the trees, that gives us breath, and the plants that give us food and beauty. We must stop choking them with our pollution. We must stop taking more than we need. We must find ways to learn about our impact and our ability to do better. Why? Because we can and must do better. To care for and to love creation is to care for and love God. For the earth is a living and breathing image of God, just as much as we are. The great Desmond Tutu reminds us that 25 years ago, people could be excused for not knowing much or doing much about climate change. But he says, today, we have no excuse. We know the earth is suffering great damage from our lives, and it is up to us to do something about it, y'all. What will we choose today? Will we choose today to repent of the sins we have made against God through our neglect and destruction of the beautiful home that God gifted us? Will we acknowledge where we could have been better but were not? Will we choose today to do better, be better, and expect better of ourselves? Will we use our heads, our hearts, and our hands to mend the earth? Will we choose today to use our voices to speak for the trees that have no voice? Will we choose today to be the caretakers that God created us and called us to be? The choice is ours, to be a part of the system that saves our planet, or the system that waits to see how long our planet is here. God made us, God loved us, God saved us, and God gave us a call to care for this beautiful home that He has gifted us. Will you pray with me? Gracious and most loving God, You could not have given us a more beautiful home to have as our earthly dwelling. And we know that our time here is temporary. But for the trees and the plants and the grass and that which grows out of the earth, this is their permanent home. Help us to look at them, to not wait until they are dead to do something, but may we choose to act today, to save our earth, to preserve our trees, and to ensure the perfection, provision, and peace that comes from them. For all this we are called, and seek your Holy Spirit to guide us and strengthen us in all that we do for your earth. Amen.